All right, let's dive into something you probably use every day, but never really think about: plastic injection molding. We're going deep on this today.
Sounds good.
Taking a look at a technical article all about how to optimize the filling and holding stages of the process. And trust me, this isn't just some like dry manufacturing manual. It gets surprisingly fascinating.
It really does. You wouldn't believe all the science and precision that goes into making even the simplest plastic object.
That's what I thought. Like, for example, the article talks about how injecting the plastic too quickly can actually burn it. Burn it, like literally scorch the material. Who knew?
It's all about finding that balance between speed, pressure, and temperature. You're trying to fill a complex mold with this molten plastic, but you need to control the flow precisely to make sure the material distributes evenly and doesn't degrade in the process.
Okay, so let's break down this injection speed thing a little more. The article highlights how it's not just about how fast the mold gets filled, but also the strength and even the appearance of the final product. So what's the science behind that?
Well, if you inject too quickly, you can create something called shear stress within the material. It's like pushing a crowd through a narrow doorway too fast. Things get chaotic, and you end up with uneven distribution and potential weaknesses.
So that's why some plastic products have rough patches or feel flimsy. Like the plastic molecules got all jumbled up during injection.
And think about those thin-walled containers you get at the grocery store. They need a rapid injection to fill the mold before the plastic cools and hardens. But imagine trying to make something thicker, like a sturdy chair, with that same rapid injection, you'd end up with a mess.
It would be like trying to fill a swimming pool with a garden hose.
That's a great way to put it. The source material even mentions specific melt flow index values for different polymers, which basically tells you how easily they flow at a given temperature. Polypropylene, for example, has high melt flow index, meaning it's very fluid and easy to inject. But something like polycarbonate, which is used for tough, impact-resistant items, has a much lower melt flow index and requires more precise control over the injection speed and pressure.
So it's like choosing the right tool for the job. A high flow material for simple shapes and a more controlled material for intricate designs.
Precisely. And speaking of control, let's talk about injection pressure. You see, the fluidity of the plastic, how that melt flow index we talked about, plays a huge role in how much pressure you need. It's all about overcoming the resistance of the molten plastic as it flows through the mold.
I'm picturing a syringe here. Some materials would flow through easily like water, but others, maybe something thicker like honey, would require a lot more force to push through.
That's a good analogy. And just like with injection speed, the pressure needs to be carefully calibrated to the specific product. Think about a complex part with lots of fine details and thin walls. You need enough pressure to make sure the plastic reaches every nook and cranny without causing defects.
So it's about finding that sweet spot where you have enough pressure to fill the mold completely, but not so much that you damage the plastic or create internal stresses that could weaken the final product.
And this is where things get really interesting because temperature also comes into play in a big way. The article really emphasized how important temperature control is in every stage of injection molding, from the barrel where the plastic is melted to the mold itself, and even the cooling process afterwards.
I was surprised by how much emphasis the article placed on temperature.
Oh, really?
I always thought it was just about melting the plastic and then letting it cool. But it sounds like it's a lot more nuanced than that.
It absolutely is. The temperature affects everything, from the viscosity of the plastic to its final crystalline structure. For example, did you know that some plastics, called crystalline plastics, actually need a very hot mold to solidify
I
properly?
did not know that. What makes crystalline plastics different?
Well, as the name suggests, their molecules have a more ordered structure, kind of like a neatly stacked pile of bricks. This means they need a higher temperature to melt and solidify in a controlled way. If the mold is too cool, the plastic might solidify too quickly and end up with an uneven structure, which could make it brittle or weak.
So it's like ensuring the molecules have enough time and the right conditions to align themselves properly.
Exactly.
As they cool and harden.
And on the flip side, amorphous plastics, which have a more random molecular structure, prefer a cooler mold to prevent stress and warping as they solidify. It's all about matching the mold temperature to the specific type of plastic you're using.
But this is where I start to see how much of a balancing act injection molding really is.
Yeah.
It's like this delicate dance between material properties, machine settings, and temperature control.
It really is. And we've only just begun to scratch the surface.
Oh, no.
There's a whole other world of complexity waiting for us when we talk about the holding stage, which is where the molten plastic truly takes shape.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay. So we've talked about how getting the injection speed, pressure, and temperature right is crucial for filling the mold.
Yeah.
But the process doesn't just stop there, does it?
No, not at all.
The article really emphasized the importance of this thing called the holding stage.
Right.
So walk me through this.
Yeah.
What exactly is happening during this holding stage? The article mentioned something about maintaining pressure.
Yeah.
But I don't quite understand why that's necessary.
Okay.
Isn't the mold already filled at this point?
Well, imagine you've just filled a balloon with water.
Okay.
If you let go of the opening too soon, the water is just going to rush back out and the balloon will lose its shape.
Okay.
And the same principle applies to injection molding.
Okay.
If you release the pressure immediately after you fill the mold, the plastic might flow back out, leaving you with an incomplete or deformed part.
So the holding pressure is like that hand holding onto the balloon.
Exactly.
Making sure everything stays in place while the plastic cools and hardens.
That's a great way to visualize it.
Yeah.
And just like with the injection pressure, finding the right holding pressure is really important to prevent defects.
Okay.
If the pressure's too high, it can create internal stresses within the plastic.
Right, like those tightly wound springs we were talking about earlier.
Sure, exactly.
Right, and those internal stresses could lead to warping or cracking later on.
Yeah.
Even if the product looks fine initially.
Exactly.
But what about the opposite? What if the holding pressure's too low?
Well, if the pressure is too low, you run the risk of shrinkage.
Okay.
Where the plastic contracts as it cools and solidifies.
Right.
Leaving you with a smaller or misshapen part.
Okay.
Imagine a cake that sinks in the middle after you take it out of the oven.
Ah, so it's like the plastic isn't being held firmly enough as it cools and it just kind of collapses in on itself.
Exactly. And the article even mentioned something called shrinkage marks, which are like little depressions or indentations you sometimes see on plastic products.
Right.
And they're often a sign that the holding pressure wasn't quite right.
So it's not just about preventing like catastrophic failures.
Right.
It's about making sure those little details and surface finishes are maintained throughout the cooling process.
Exactly.
But how do manufacturers figure out the optimal holding pressure?
Well,
it sounds like there are a lot of variables to consider.
You're right. It's a complex calculation that takes into account the type of plastic, the geometry of the part, and even the temperature of the mold.
Okay.
And speaking of temperature, you'd be surprised how much of an impact it has on the holding stage.
I'm starting to realize that temperature is like the unsung hero of injection molding.
Yeah.
It affects everything.
It really does. During the holding stage, the mold temperature plays a crucial role in controlling the cooling rate of the plastic.
Right.
Remember how we talked about crystalline plastics needing a hot mold to solidify properly?
Yeah.
Well, that means the mold temperature needs to be carefully maintained throughout the holding stage to ensure a consistent and controlled cooling process.
So it's not just about getting the mold hot enough at the beginning.
Right.
It's about keeping it at that optimal temperature for the entire duration of the holding stage.
Exactly. And if the mold temperature drops too low during the holding stage, it can cause the plastic to solidify too quickly, which can trap air bubbles or create those uneven densities we talked about earlier, potentially weakening the part.
It's like trying to bake a cake in an oven that keeps fluctuating in temperature.
Yeah.
You're going to end up with a cake that's burnt on the outside and raw in the middle.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And this is why precise temperature control is so important.
Okay.
Especially during that holding stage. It's about ensuring the plastic cools and solidifies uniformly without any internal stresses or surface defects.
Okay, so we've covered holding pressure.
Right.
Mold temperature.
Uh-huh.
But the article also mentioned something about holding time.
Yes.
Is that another factor that needs to be carefully controlled?
Absolutely. Holding time is simply the amount of time the pressure is maintained.
Okay.
After the mold is filled.
Gotcha.
Think of it like this.
Okay.
You filled that balloon with water.
Uh-huh.
And now you need to hold it for a certain amount of time.
Right.
To make sure the balloon's material stretches.
Okay.
And conforms to the shape of the water inside.
So if the holding time is too short,
yes,
the plastic might not have fully solidified before the pressure is released.
Right.
And we could end up with those shrinkage marks or other defects.
Exactly.
Right.
But if the holding time is too long, it can also be a problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember those internal stresses?
Yes.
Well, the longer you hold the plastic under pressure, the more likely those stresses are to build up.
Okay.
Increasing the risk of warping or cracking.
So just like with everything else in injection molding.
Yeah.
It's about finding that sweet spot.
Exactly.
For holding time. Not too short.
Right.
Not too long. But just right. But how do manufacturers figure out what that just right time is?
Well, that's where experience and a deep understanding of the materials and the process really come in.
Okay.
But luckily, there are also some really sophisticated tools and techniques that can help, like computer simulations and advanced process monitoring systems.
Oh, okay.
These tools allow engineers to predict how different holding times will affect the final product.
Right.
And make adjustments as needed to ensure optimal quality and consistency.
Wow, that's incredible. That sounds like injection molding has come a long way.
It really has. The advancements in technology
and
process control have really revolutionized the industry,
right,
allowing manufacturers to create increasingly complex and high-quality plastic products with incredible precision and efficiency.
This is blowing my mind. It's amazing to think about all the science and engineering that goes into making even the simplest plastic object.
It truly is. And we haven't even touched on some of the more advanced techniques used in injection molding. Like gas-assisted molding.
Okay.
Or over-molding.
Yeah.
Which open up a whole new world of possibilities.
Wow.
For product design and functionality.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
We've only just scratched the surface of this fascinating field.
Okay.
But maybe we should save those topics for another deep dive.
Okay.
What do you say?
Okay, so we've gone through injection speed and pressure and temperature and that holding stage.
We have.
My brain is officially full of plastic facts now. I'm starting to look at like all these everyday objects in a totally different way.
That's the beauty of taking a deep dive. You know, you really start to appreciate the complexity behind the stuff you might normally just take for granted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I'm curious.
Okay.
How do manufacturers actually figure out all these optimal settings?
Right.
We've talked about the theory.
Yeah.
But how is it put into practice?
Well, it used to be a lot more trial and error, but luckily technology has come a long way.
Okay.
The article talks about computer simulations that allow engineers to basically model the whole process virtually.
Okay.
They can put in all sorts of variables like the type of plastic, the mold design, the machine settings, and then they can see how it all works together.
So it's like a digital dress rehearsal before they even make a physical mold.
Exactly.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That makes sense for complex parts.
Right.
Where you don't want to waste all that time and material on prototypes.
Exactly.
But what about those real-time adjustments we talked about?
Yes.
During the actual molding process?
So that's where those advanced process monitoring systems come in.
Okay.
They use sensors to track things like temperature and pressure.
Okay.
Even the viscosity of the plastic.
So it's like having all these little inspectors making sure everything's running smoothly.
That's a great way to put it. And the best part is these systems can make adjustments automatically on the fly.
Wow.
If anything deviates from the optimal settings.
So if the temperature's dropping or the pressure spikes, it just takes care of it.
It can automatically compensate.
That's amazing.
To keep everything balanced.
It's incredible how technology has turned making a simple plastic object into this precise process.
It really is a testament to human ingenuity.
I know.
Taking this basic concept and just turning it into an art form.
Right. We've talked about everything from food containers.
Yeah.
To car parts,
right.
To medical devices.
Uh-huh.
All this stuff is made this way.
It's amazing.
It really is.
It
makes you appreciate the complexity.
It does.
Of these things we take for granted.
It really does.
This deep dive has been so interesting.
Oh, good.
We'll look at all plastic products.
Yeah.
In a whole new way.
I'm glad to hear that. Maybe next time you pick up a plastic object.
Yeah.
Think about that whole journey it took to get there.
Wow.
All the science and the engineering and the precision.
Right.
All the people involved.
A huge thank you to our expert today.
Of course.
This has been fascinating.
Glad to be here.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Until next time, keep exploring.
Yeah.
And keep...